From WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Millions of people in the U.S. are facing dangerous heat this weekend, including us here at home. I'll let you know when the heat backs off into the upper 80s coming up.
It's the first sign of VinFast's arrival here in Chatham County. The Vietnamese automaker starting construction on its factory here. I'm Matt Tallhelm. I'll have a live report to show you the celebration.
And a church congregation in shock after fire destroys their place of worship. We're live with the search for the cause and a look at the damage. The heat index has already soared past 100 here in this lunch hour. You're looking at a live picture from Lake Gaston, an ideal place to be on a day like today, whether on the water or in the water. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for spending your time with us this noon. And meteorologist Kat Campbell joins us now with a town-by-town look at these scorching temperatures and how long they'll last, Kat.
Next week, not going to be quite so hot, but through the weekend, it's going to be feeling a lot like this. It's only noon, so we have 3 to 4 more hours of heating potential, and we're already at 92 degrees. 104 is the heat index in the triangle, and that number likely to keep climbing today. Feels like 106 in South Hill right now. 102 is the heat index in Goldsboro, where it's 88 degrees at the moment. 93 in Southern Pines with a heat index of 100. You just can't escape the heat today, and that is why the entire viewing area is under a heat advisory through this evening. The heat index between 105 and 109 this afternoon. If we take an hour-by-hour look at the heat index forecasts, we're likely to see the heat index stay right around 105 as we head through 1-2 o'clock, but by 3-4 o'clock, that's when we could get up to that 107, maybe 108 range, and that's really dangerous heat. Today, our maximum heat index 108 in the triangle, a similar forecast tomorrow, so another heat advisory has been issued for tomorrow. Sunday, the heat backs off a little bit closer to that 100 to 105 degree range. So we may be able to dodge the heat advisories by Sunday, but boy, it's going to be hot all weekend long. The dual Doppler 5000 radar quiet today, but it may not be so quiet as we head into the weekend. In fact, tomorrow, points from Raleigh north under a severe weather threat. I'll outline the timing for this coming up.
Thanks, Kat. If you're in Wake County, there are places you can go to protect yourself from the dangerous heat. You can visit any public library during regular business hours. The County Health and Human Services Center and regional centers will also be open. They opened at 8:30 this morning. They'll stay open until 5:15 this evening. If you're in Orange County, you can go to the Cedar Grove, Eflin Cheeks, and Rogers Road community centers, as well as the Orange County Public Library. All the locations will serve as cooling centers until 7 p.m.
Construction is now officially underway to build North Carolina's first car factory here in Chatham County. Within the last 3 hours, Vietnamese automaker VinFast broke ground on the first phase of its $4 billion plant to build electric vehicles. WRAL's Matt Tallhelm is live in Moncure to show us the celebration. Matt.
Yeah, Renee, and they're wasting no time after that celebration. I want to show you the work that's going on already out here. You can see a lot of dirt being moved, the heavy equipment out here, and that truck, where that truck bed is with those pictures on it, that's what the factory will look like, and that is the beginning of the footprint of this factory that VinFast is building on this 2,000-acre site here. Governor Roy Cooper and Chatham County leaders joined VinFast execs from both the U.S. and Vietnam to turn the first dirt for that ceremonial groundbreaking. Now, it's been 16 months since they announced plans to build this factory here with the goal to open it in 2024. Well, that's been delayed a year, as we've reported. VinFast says this factory will employ 7,500 people and have the capacity to produce 150,000 electric vehicles a year, starting with the VF8 and VF9 electric SUVs.
This will better position us to manufacture and distribute EVs in North America's fast-growing market with greater speed and efficiency.
I feel very confident that they're going to produce a vehicle that's going to be at a lower price to try and make sure that we get to everybody who wants an electric vehicle.
Cruz also started pouring the foundation for the General Assembly building here this morning. That is the biggest part of the factory where those vehicles will actually be finished. VinFast says the first cars will roll off the assembly line here in 2025. And we also learned today some news about the financial side of all this to make sure that this expansion and this factory can actually get built here. A merger has been approved between VinFast and a publicly traded company. That means VinFast can start offering shares at about $10 with a possible generation of $23 billion to help with that expansion here. You can read more about that in full detail at WRALTechWire.com.
The start of construction on that site behind you, Matt, a significant milestone for VinFast, more than a year and a half in the making. Thanks.
We're getting our first look in from the air of a church that was destroyed by fire. The roof of the church collapsed along with the steeple. WRL's Chelsea Donovan is in Nash County with what she's learned about the investigation into the cause of that fire. Chelsea.
Just keep on praying. That's the message here at Zion Cross Missionary Baptist Church. We're in Whitaker's this afternoon, and that's because look at behind me. This is pretty unbelievable incident that happened. We're told that this building collapsed yesterday afternoon. This is a church with about 100 parishioners that was built back in the 1930s. Let's show you the aerials from Sky 5 this morning. You can see the steeple there completely encapsulated into the roof. The deacon of the church that I just spoke to said for months they've had a leak within that steeple, and they believe that is what caused the church to collapse. This happened yesterday afternoon, but then around 7 p.m. late last night, the church also caught fire. Residents that we spoke to said it sounded like a large boom or a car crash, and when they looked outside, they couldn't believe what they saw. Now, we know right now that Nash County Code Enforcement, rather, is on the scene sort of assessing the damage and trying to pinpoint that actual cause. We know from talking to the deacon this morning, they plan to start that very slow process of rebuilding. But as you can imagine, they've got Sunday school, they've got Bible school and Bible study, and that's going to take place at a nearby church here in Nash County, Neuse River Baptist, for the weekend. So a lot of clean up and pick up here. But of course, most of these folks here in these residents nearby that have been coming to this church for quite some time, as you can imagine, are in a little bit of shock today.
Long process ahead, terrible situation for them. Chelsea Donovan live in Nash County for us this noon. Chelsea, thanks. Carowinds is responding to rumors online that there is a second crack in the support beams of the Fury 325 roller coaster. This is the ride currently under inspections and tests after a break in a support beam was spotted weeks ago. WRL reached out to Carowinds about the rumors of a second crack and received this statement from them, quote, "During such reviews, it is not uncommon to discover slight weld indications in various locations of a steel superstructure." They went on to say it is important to note that these indications do not compromise the structural integrity or safety of the ride.
Happening now, the Nash County Board of Commissioners is holding a specially called meeting to discuss the findings of a WRL investigation into the county's social services department. WRL's Keenan Willard is there with what we're expecting to hear from county leaders.
For the last several hours, Nash County commissioners have been in closed session in a room behind these chambers, talking about, among other things, our investigation into the deaths of Crystal Lane and Chase Hilliard. This week, WRL found that since 2020, two children have died while under the care of Nash DSS. One-year-old Chase Hilliard was allegedly murdered by his mother in 2020, and police say 8-year-old Crystal Lane was killed by her grandmother in February of this year. WRL found the deaths came after recommendations were made to department leaders to remove the children from their homes, but that action wasn't taken. Since our investigation, two commissioners have expressed concern about the leadership of Nash DSS. Commissioners say after they come out of closed session, they are expecting to take action on one item, but didn't say if it was connected to the investigation or social services. We're working to get a response to this morning's conversation for the WRL Evening News. Keenan Willard, WRL News, Nash County.
We have an urgent warning from the State Department of Health and Human Services. Three people died last month from a rare bacteria called Vibrio. The bacteria normally live in warm seawater or salt marsh. People with open wounds, cuts, or scratches can be exposed to the bacteria through direct contact. You can also get it by eating raw or undercooked oysters and shellfish. People with a wound, recent surgery, piercing, or tattoo are urged to stay out of salt water if possible.
How far would you drive to find a DMV without long lines? People in Raleigh are driving an extra hour to places like Fayetteville and Greensboro to avoid waiting in line at the DMV on Saturdays. The DMV commissioner recommends before you make that longer drive, be sure you have the correct documents with you for your visit and check out the DMV's wait time tool.
Use our walk-in wait time tool and get an approximation of what the wait time may be, and knowing that there could be a lot of new drivers that show up and it may change.
Saturday walk-in hours will be in place through August 27th, but the commissioner tells WREL his team is looking into more walk-in offices or extended weekday hours for the fall.
New at noon, another positive report about inflation. WREL's Brian Schrader looks at the numbers and why it's not necessarily all good news. Brian, explain.
Renee, the big story here is that inflation slowed again in June. That's according to an index that the Federal Reserve closely follows. It's called the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index. And when you leave out food and energy, prices were up just 0.2% from the previous month. That's in line with what economists were expecting. It was up 4.1% from June of 2022. That's a better showing than May's annual increase, all a sign that inflation is coming down. But UNC Kenan Institute economist Gerald Cohen says wages are rising without gains in productivity, and that fuels inflation.
If productivity was growing really quickly, that, and we were having these wage gains, then I'd say, great, you know, it's just because we're doing things more efficiently. But as an economy-wide, that's happening less. And so if you look at the economy-wide wage numbers, they're concerning.
Cohen says the economy is stronger and more resilient to the interest rate hikes than he and other economists were expecting. And he says if that strength continues, the Fed likely will continue to raise those interest rates. Renee.
And we're used to that series of interest rate hikes. Brian, thank you so much. Well, after that tame inflation data, the Dow Jones Industrial Average heading for a third winning week. We have 200 points up on the Dow, NASDAQ up 260 points, and the S&P 500 also green in green territory, up 45 points.
Next at noon, the truck driver attacked by a police canine in Ohio is talking about what happened as the dog jumped him while he appeared to be surrendering.
And a wrong-way crash shut down a major Florida highway. How many people were injured and what police say caused the crash?
Plus, wind whips up a sandstorm in a place not known for this type of scene. We'll tell you where this happened after the break.
Download the new WREL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center, the Carolina Panthers and Lenovo announcing the third year of Empowering the Carolinas contest benefiting small businesses in North and South Carolina. Of the businesses nominated, 10 will receive a check for $5,000, like the one that Raleigh-Durham Rub and Gasket received last year. The 10 selected companies would then have the opportunity to win the grand prize, which is a $100,000 advertising package with the Panthers. Members of the community can nominate their favorite small businesses up until midnight tonight. You can do so by going to panthers.com/Lenovo. It's the website where you can submit those nominations again at 11:59 p.m. tonight.
They just keep pounding. All right, Ken, thank you. Now to a disturbing story out of Ohio. Police officer released a canine officer on an unarmed black man who appeared to be surrendering.
This week, that officer was fired. And now we're hearing from the man who was attacked. NBC's Kathy Park also has reaction from the trucker's lawyer.
Come to me!
23-year-old Jadarius Rose is at the center of a now viral video that shows a police officer unleashing a canine dog on him, even though he appears to be surrendering. Rose now sharing his story for the first time with our Tom Yamas.
I just didn't want to lose my life.
This edited dash cam video released by the Ohio State Highway Patrol shows a prolonged police chase in Jackson County, Ohio, back on July 4th. The police incident report states troopers initially attempted a traffic stop because the semi-truck Rose was driving was missing a left rear mud flap.
Is there a reason why you didn't stop?
Scared.
You were scared?
A 911 call that his attorney indicated was Rose seems to confirm that he was afraid.
I parked the truck, and I was about to comply with them, but they all had their guns drawn out for whatever reason. It seemed like they're trying to kill me.
You need to comply with them.
Roughly 30 minutes later, this edited body camera footage shows Rose exiting the truck with his hands up, appearing to surrender, and audio of a state trooper clearly and repeatedly warning a local officer.
Do not release the dog with his hands up.
But Officer Ryan Speakman did, seeming to command the dog to specifically attack Rose.
Do not get the dog off of him! Get the dog off of him!
Wednesday, the Circleville Police Department fired Officer Speakman, saying in part, he did not meet the standards and expectations we hold for our police officers. Speakman has not commented publicly about the incident or his firing, but the police union representing him has filed a grievance, fighting to reverse a termination. Jadarius Rose's attorney, Ben Crum, saying the firing is a good start, but hinting there may be more legal action ahead.
This is not 1960. This is 2023.
That was Kathy Park reporting. At least three people were injured overnight in a wrong-way crash on a Florida interstate. Troopers say the collision caused a chain reaction of crashes that left this flatbed truck upside down with the driver trapped. Police say the 22-year-old had a blood alcohol content level of 0.18. That's more than twice the legal limit. Three drivers were taken to the hospital following the crash with non-life-threatening injuries.
Snoop Dogg is the latest celebrity to donate to a GoFundMe campaign for a 93-year-old woman trying to hold on to her family's land. The campaign has raised more than $270,000 so far toward the $350,000 goal. Snoop made a $10,000 donation to Josephine Wright to help her keep her family's plot of land on Hilton Head Island. It has been in the family since the Civil War. Wright claims they're trying to force her to sell the property. NBA player Kyrie Irving donated $40,000 a month ago. Billionaire Tyler Perry also has asked how he can help. And take a look at this. This is not the Sahara Desert or Arizona. You're looking at a sandstorm in Conneaut, Ohio. Yeah, right in the Midwest. High winds whipped up that sand right along Lake Erie.
Tonight could be your lucky night. Nearly $1 billion is up for grabs in the Mega Millions lottery. The jackpot, now an estimated $910 million. Now, if you win and go the cash option route, you take home about $464 million. This is the fifth largest jackpot in Mega Millions history. Tonight's drawing will be live right here on WRAL before our 11 p.m. newscast.
12:18 right now in the afternoon, and it is hot already. Kat Campbell is in the WRO Severe Weather Center with what's ahead for us.
More of this, Jeff. Unfortunately, we're just not escaping the heat this weekend. It's only noon, and we typically see our high around 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and our heat index already at 104 right now. 96 is the high tomorrow. That number is down a few degrees from what we were previously forecasting, the reason why we expect to see more clouds tomorrow. On Sunday, 94, so we stay right around the mid-90s, but the humidity is quite high into the weekend, and that means another heat advisory tomorrow. Even though we're going to get up to 96 by the afternoon, it's going to feel more like 108 by the afternoon. And I mean, this shows you just how hot it's going to be. 80 degrees already by 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, all around. A sizzling hot day, so make sure that you're taking care of yourself. Take some breaks in the shade, go inside in the air conditioning if you're able to, or visit one of the open cooling centers in our community. We are tracking a couple features on satellite and radar. We've got some clouds moving ashore. This is some tropical moisture that we've been telling you about since the beginning of the week. It's moving ashore, and then we also have this front that is going to push south. So let's take a closer look at what this could mean. As that front begins to push south tomorrow, it sparks storms closer to it up to our north. But that line of storms tries to move into North Carolina. It's going to weaken some as it does so. But there is a level one threat for severe storms from Raleigh points north due to the threat for some of those storms having strong winds. Not everybody's going to see rain tomorrow. These are more isolated storms. And we are seeing some evidence that closer to the coast, there could be some storms that develop already midday tomorrow. And then by the time we get to the evening, these are going to be really hit or miss. But here's that line of storms. It's probably not going to get here until pretty late tomorrow night. We're talking after sunset likely. So it's going to weaken as it moves in. But around midnight, we could see some of those storms arrive. So we'll keep an eye on that potential. And the front continues to draw closer to us on Sunday. Many of our high-resolution runs of Futurecast are keeping the rain just to our east, closer to the coast on Sunday. We will see if that trend holds throughout the afternoon. I would typically, with the front overhead and the hot, humid air in place, err on the side of bumping up our storm chances. So check in for an update this afternoon as we get in and look over some new model data. Outside right now, temperatures are in the upper 70s to upper 80s to lower 90s. I wish upper 70s. So if you're headed to the pool, just take care of yourself. We are still forecasting 98 for the high today. Only about a 20% chance you would run into some rain. Storm chances peak on Tuesday in this 7-day forecast cycle. That would be our best chance for some scattered storms. But look at next week. The heat likely to back off and the humidity dips a little bit as well. You know, it's still going to feel like August, but it is going to feel better than it feels this weekend. Highs around 90, dew points in the 60s. Sounds pretty good in comparison. Renee and Jeff.
It will be a refreshing change. Kat, thank you. A Durham restaurant was close to being shut down because of their low health score. Five on Your Side digs into the problems inspectors found in this week's restaurant ratings.
Also ahead, if you're headed to the beach this weekend, you might notice the water is hotter than normal. We'll have more on the unprecedented marine heat waves coming up tonight at 5:30. Meantime, still ahead this noon, inflation might be easing, but the price of some school supplies is still on the rise. We'll help you find some of the best deals for your student.
Plus, an Apple product from the 90s is up for sale. Why most people never knew these shoes existed until now.
Happening now with the WRA Live Center, we want to give you a live look now at Air Force One. Air Force One just landing at Brunswick Executive Airport in Maine. The president will be disembarking from Air Force One rather shortly. He's there in Maine to give remarks at a woman-owned Auburn manufacturing and heat-resistant textile company. He's also touting his economic policy. He will then go to a campaign fundraiser in Freeport. He's also going to talk about the PCE report that Brian Schrader just reported on, and of course tout his so-called Bidenomics while he's there. This is his first trip back to Maine since winning the White House.
Ken, thanks. It's time to check off those back-to-school shopping lists. Many parents are searching for deals due to high prices. Maribel Aber tells us where we can find some bargains.
Major retailers are battling for your back-to-school business. More than half of consumers have already done their shopping, according to a National Retail Federation survey. But that still leaves many of you with a list to complete. Consulting firm Deloitte notes that school supply prices have jumped 24% in the past 2 years, so finding bargains will be key for many families. USA Today found these to get you started. Amazon is offering back-to-school discounts as high as 53%, and if you're a Prime member, you can earn additional savings. Buy select Mac products from Apple's education store and receive a gift card up to $150 until October 2nd. This is available to current and newly accepted college students, their parents, and teachers. Target has items like glue and crayons for as little as 25 cents, lunch boxes starting at $5, backpacks starting at $7, and much more. Walmart says it's keeping last year's prices and offers the 14 most popular items on the average school supply list for less than $13 total. And of course, Dollar General and Dollar Tree offer several classroom basics for a buck or two. Many retailers are offering special promo codes to get extra savings along with free shipping and other incentives. So, happy shopping.
An ultra-rare pair of shoes from the 90s is up for sale at Sotheby's. The shoes were originally made for Apple employees and were never sold to the general public. This size right here, 10.5 sneaker, never worn, but there are some imperfections consistent with age. The asking price is $50,000. Earlier this month, a first-generation iPhone from 2007 was auctioned off for $190,000. And get this, you know the phone's original price was $499. Chick-fil-A is developing two new restaurant concepts, an elevated drive-thru and digital walk-up service. The concepts are designed to improve the drive-thru and mobile ordering process. Chick-fil-A says digital orders make up more than half of total sales in some markets. The elevated drive-thru will be built in Atlanta and have four lanes that pass under the kitchen and can handle 75 cars. The digital walk-up concept will be tested in New York and will only serve as a pickup point for mobile orders.
Please bring that elevated drive-through to Raleigh. That is next level. Former President Trump faces new charges in the classified documents case. Coming up, what the government says led to additional counts.
Plus, thousands of Americans are testing positive for a condition that causes allergic reactions to red meat. We'll tell you what the CDC says about the illness. And these are winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Let's begin this half hour with those additional criminal charges filed by the special counsel against former President Trump related to his handling of classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. It comes as a separate indictment for election interference is looming. NBC's Garrett Hake reports from Washington.
Today, former President Trump is facing three more criminal charges related to his handling of highly classified documents at Mar-a-Lago, made public in a new indictment filed by the special counsel Thursday. It charges Mr. Trump with one additional count of willful retention of national defense information and two additional counts of obstruction. It also adds a new third defendant, Mar-a-Lago property manager Carlos de Oliveira. Mar-a-Lago surveillance video key to the new charges. Prosecutors say when Mr. Trump heard of the government's request for classified material from Mar-a-Lago, he said, quote, "I don't want anybody looking through my boxes. And isn't it better if there are no documents?" The government says the boxes were later moved. After the FBI search of the property, the government demanded surveillance video. The next day, prosecutors say, the former president called his property manager and spoke for 24 minutes. 2 days later, according to the indictment, De Oliveira and Nauta, quote, went to look at surveillance video in a security booth and walked through a tunnel with flashlights pointing out surveillance cameras. A few days after that, De Oliveira met with a security employee in an audio closet, telling him that, quote, the boss wanted the server deleted. According to the indictment, the employee responded that he, quote, would not know how to do that, and that he did not believe he would have the rights to do that. The indictment, which outlines various meetings between De Oliveira and Nauta in the bushes around Mar-a-Lago, does not say whether they were able to delete any video. A lawyer for De Oliveira had no comment.
They want to take away my freedom.
Mr. Trump, in an interview with Fox News Digital overnight, called the charges, quote, ridiculous, and said he was facing harassment. He has already pleaded not guilty to 37 federal felony charges in the classified documents case brought by the special counsel in June.
We have one set of laws in this country, and they apply to everyone.
That was Garrett Hake reporting. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell plans to serve the rest of the current congressional session in his role as the GOP leader. The statement comes 2 days after he froze mid-sentence for about 20 seconds during a news conference. McConnell's 81. He's faced scrutiny over his health this year, starting in March when he suffered a concussion and broken ribs after falling at a hotel in Washington. McConnell has led the Senate GOP for the past 16 years and is the longest-serving Senate party leader ever.
UNC Chapel Hill is updating its admission policies a step further than the Supreme Court's ruling on affirmative action. The school's Board of Trustees voted yesterday to update its non-discrimination policies. The school will not prevent preferential treatment and discrimination in its admissions, hiring, and contracting decisions. The board chairman says it reaffirms the school's commitment to anti-discrimination, but Trustee Ralph Meekins opposed the resolution, saying it could bring serious legal ramifications.
The Supreme Court case dealt with specifically admissions. This resolution goes beyond that.
We really should strive to adhere to not just the technical aspects of the law, but shouldn't look for ways around applying and making sure that we comply with the ruling.
UNC was one of the schools cited in the Supreme Court ruling. A lawyer from NC Central University tells us he believes more litigation will follow.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Johnston and Orange counties. Johnston County Public Schools will hold orientation at various times before the start of the new school year. Students and parents will have an opportunity to meet teachers, find classrooms, and get ready for the first day of school. Orientation dates are broken down by last names, grades, and schools. You can find a complete list of dates and times on the Johnston County Public School website. Also in Johnson County, you're invited to the Bright Leaf Block Party in Clayton. This takes place tomorrow from 11 until 1 at the Riverwood Athletic Club. There will be free food, games, music, plenty of water to keep you cool. Don't forget to bring your own lawn chairs. And tomorrow, you can safely drop off any unused or expired medications in Orange County. Safe Kids Orange County is hosting a safe med drop at the Eflin Cheeks Community Center. Bring by the medications you don't use anymore between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. as part of a back-to-school event to create safer homes for children.
You may be bugging out because of all this ongoing heat, but all this extremely warm weather could be exposing you to more health risks besides heat-related illnesses. Sean Langille takes a closer look at why some scientists believe the warming planet could be sparking a rise in tick and mosquito-borne illnesses.
With July on track to becoming the hottest month ever recorded, global health experts caution how the stubborn extreme heat could be triggering an increase in tick and mosquito-borne illnesses.
High precipitation, increased temperature, and even the mosquito manages to survive even when there is water scarcity.
The World Health Organization says cases of dengue fever, an infection passed from mosquitoes to people, are approaching record numbers this year. Symptoms can include severe fever, headache, muscle pain, rashes, and more. But while the illness is usually more common in tropical climates, as temperatures continue climbing around the world, health experts say the Earth is creating more environments better suited for mosquitoes that can carry disease.
In 2000, we had about 500,000 cases, and today we, in 2022, we recorded over 4.2 million cases, which really shows an eightfold increase.
And while the spread of dengue in the continental U.S. has been on the smaller scale, as cases rise in countries across South America, Europe, and Asia, infected travelers visiting the U.S. could eventually lead to more dengue outbreaks here in the States. Scientists say the warming planet is also making tick populations more active earlier than usual, creating a larger window where people could be infected with Lyme disease and tick-borne encephalitis.
I was nauseated, I was dizzy, I was vomiting.
Meanwhile, the CDC says bites from the Lone Star tick, common across the eastern and southern U.S., are causing more people like Bernadine Heller-Greenman to develop allergies to red meat. The CDC says as many as 450,000 Americans have developed the meat allergy so far.
That was Sean Langille reporting, and according to the CDC, people with the allergy tend to become ill 4 to 6 hours after having red meat or dairy, so they don't always connect their symptoms to what they're eating.
Still to come, improving police conduct, how some departments are using artificial intelligence to help them train for better human encounters.
Plus, how can you find out about which books are banned from your local libraries and how you can still read them if they are?
Police departments across the country are now using artificial intelligence technology to evaluate officers. The system analyzes hundreds of hours of video a week. It also detects critical situations that involve use of force in pursuits. The technology also screens for profanity and unprofessional language.
We have to hold our officers accountable and making sure that they're providing a service to our citizens in a professional manner.
One police department using the system saw a 36% reduction in the use of force. The system costs an average of about $500 per officer per year.
Adopting accelerated artificial intelligence in some fields of work could significantly cut down work hours. A recent report found advances in generative automation could assume some human tasks, which may reduce human workloads. Professionals in fields of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics would see their human workload percentages drop by as much as 30%. Education and workforce training could also see large workload drops through automation. A new app is letting people read books that may be banned in their area. The Digital Public Library of America is launching the Banned Book Club program for readers to find books that have been removed from their local libraries. Readers can find which books have been banned in their area on the bannedbookclub.info. It'll be available to download for free on the Palace e-reader app.
Lowering your blood pressure through exercise. The two moves researchers say you should incorporate into your routine.
Lovely wide open view right there. Pinehurst Resort and Country Club as you watch WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. And Cat Campbell's right around the corner with those feels-like temperatures in triple digits this weekend. Trader Joe's is recalling one of its soup products because it could contain bugs. The store chain says it's calling back about 11,000 cases of what's called unexpected cheddar broccoli branded soup products. The company says those unexpected bugs could be in the frozen florets of the broccoli. The cheddar broccoli soup was sold in 7 states, not ours. This week, Trader Joe's also recalled 2 cookie products after it discovered they might contain rocks. Isometric exercises like wall squats and planks may be best for lowering blood pressure. Isometric exercises engage muscles without movement. They can be done with or without weights. Experts say more research is needed to figure out why these particular exercises might be better for lowering blood pressure than any other types of training.
Feels like we all have World Cup fever right now, but some pretty special soccer being played in our own backyard. The first place Courage got even better today with the signing of 17-year-old Riley Jackson. WRL's Pat Welter was there in Cary for the announcement. Pat, explain why this is such a big deal.
Well, Renee, men have been able to go from high school to pro in soccer for a long time now, but this is a new thing for the women's game in America. It all actually started back in 2021 when Olivia Moultrie, who was 15, won an antitrust lawsuit. She then signed with the Portland Thorns, and we have seen a youth movement in NWSL ever since. So 17-year-old Riley Jackson, the latest to do it, she was introduced here today with her friends, family, teammates. She is the 2021 Gatorade National Player of the Year. This is a kid that has a chance to play for the U.S. Women's National Team someday. Yeah, that's right. I'm talking about a World Cup. Now, she played for Courage Coach Sean Naos when she was just 14 at a national team camp, and that's where the relationship started. It's grown since. She's trained with the Courage several times now, was committed to Duke, but believed this was the best place to start her pro career.
It's not just a soccer decision, it's a life decision, and I feel like it's always been my dream since I was little to play, and it's just an opportunity that you really can't pass up. It's perfect timing for me, just where I'm at soccer-wise, and I feel like I just want to make sure that I'm constantly challenging myself.
This is part of what I've been saying for the last couple of years, that if the investment in women's sports was there, then maybe they're on the covers of Sports Illustrated, right? And I think it's those types of things that are so important, and for Riley to be a part of that journey, I think is massive.
Now, Riley's dealing with a little bit of a foot injury right now, so going to be a bit before you see her actually play on the pitch. But she's got a lot of other things to work out first. Because she's under 18, she has to move in with a parent or guardian here in the Cary area. Oh, and she's also got to finish this thing called high school. She's 17. She's from Georgia, but she told us she plans to finish it remote, Renee.
I love what she said about it's not just a soccer decision, but also a life decision. It speaks volumes about our team here in Wake County, the NC Courage, that she's choosing them. Pat Welter, thank you so much. The U.S. will look to advance in the World Cup with a win or tie in their final group stage game. They're playing Portugal on Tuesday morning, starting at 3 a.m. because of the time difference in New Zealand. You'll probably want to set your alarm for that. You can watch it live on Fox 50. Although, Jeff, that's our normal work hours.
They're speaking our language.
Catch the beginning of the game
exactly.
There.
We'll get it. We'll be checking our phone and right in the middle of the newscast. Now, Kat Campbell is over in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now. Beautiful look behind you there, but can't hide from the heat today.
No, you can't. You got to stay inside in the air conditioning. That's your only bet. I mean, look at this bright blue sky in Franklinton. It looks beautiful as we look at it on our TV screens inside. But boy, it is hot out there. In Franklinton, this is a live look from Mason and Main. The current temperature there, 90 degrees and the dew point 73. So it is quite humid outside today. The heat index in Lewisburg nearby around 99. Feels like 104 here in the Triangle. 102, the heat index in Siler City. And it's up to 106 in South Hill right now, feeling like 97 in Fayetteville, 100 in Smithfield, 100 in Robbins. Fayetteville, a few more clouds there to help keep that number down a bit. But you've got to make sure you're finding a way to beat the heat this weekend. Make sure you're drinking plenty of water. Try to stay in the shade. I mean, just the difference from being in direct sunlight to the shade can be a 20 degree difference. So it really does help. Wear some light colored clothing if you do have to be outside, and never, ever, ever leave children, pets, or the elderly in your car for any period of time. Your weekend planner stays pretty hot, highs in the mid-90s each day. The heat index tomorrow back in that 105 to 109 range, so another heat advisory in effect, and some isolated storms will be possible both days this weekend, but not expecting a widespread soaking rain. Let's take a look at the tropics. This is an updated tropical outlook, a 60% chance that this system will develop in the next 7 days, and I've got to say, it looks much, much better on satellite today compared to how it looked yesterday. It's going to be moving in this direction. So let's take a look at the steering currents as we head into next week. So by next week, it should be in this general vicinity right here. And we've got this big area of high pressure, the Bermuda High, steering in a clockwise flow and the upper trough. So it should follow in between these two features. And most models are pretty consistently showing it staying east of Bermuda. We will continue to monitor this system until it makes that curve, but we haven't seen that change. As of right now, it doesn't look like it's going to be a threat to the U.S. Outside today, 98 degrees, the high in Raleigh and Durham. If we hit 99, it would be the hottest day so far this year. 98 in Rocky Mount, 97 for Fayetteville and Goldsboro today. If we look ahead, the heat backs off next week. So that's the good news. Once we get through the weekend, things start to gradually level out next week. Our normal high this time of year is 91. So next week, we're back in the upper 80s to lower 90s. Low temperatures are even likely to be in the 60s. So that's going to be feeling pretty good. Our best chance for storms will come next Tuesday. We're going to have a closer look at today's top stories coming up right after this.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the following headlines today.
Yeah, construction of the VinFast plant is officially underway in Chatham County. This morning, Governor Cooper, company executives, and county leaders were all there together for a ceremony of groundbreaking. The $4 billion electric vehicle manufacturing plant will bring more than 7,000 jobs to Moncure. Fire investigators are working to figure out what sparked a fire that destroyed a Nash County church. Sky 5 flew over Zion Cross Baptist Church this morning, and you can see that roof is caved in. The steeple is on its side. The fire broke out last night at the church on Watson Seed Farm Road. No one was hurt.
Ford is recalling more than 870,000 newer F-150 pickup trucks in the U.S. The automaker says the parking brake can unexpectedly turn on while the truck is being driven. The recall covers certain pickups from the 2021 through 23 model years, specifically those with single exhaust systems. Ford will notify owners who should take their truck in to the dealer for a fix. This year's Emmy Awards are on hold because of the strike by Hollywood writers and actors.
The award show has been scheduled to air September 18th. The delay comes as Hollywood productions slowed down with the Writers Guild of America on strike since early May. Nearly all remaining productions stopped after SAG-AFTRA began their strike on July 14th. Did you know Raleigh once had its very own castle? Sitting across from the governor's mansion today is a large, unassuming state parking lot. But you never know when a plain-looking lot is hiding this fascinating history.
4 stories tall, made of solid red brick with massive, majestic turrets and a wraparound porch. Built in the late 1800s, the castle was the original campus for what is now known as Meredith College. So what happened to this grand castle? We have the full story on WREL.com. Search Hidden History. Our pet of the day comes to us from SPCA of Wake County. Duke here is a 5-year-old neutered male short hair cat. Duke has a reputation for being the friendliest cat in the room.
He's always the first one to walk up and greet you whenever you come by. Very outgoing, thinks everyone he meets is his new best friend.
And Duke would love a family who will spend lots of time cuddling him and playing with him. For more information about Duke, visit spcawake.org.
1 minute. A new study says that's all it takes to help your children and teens understand what it means to be safe around guns. Coming up today on our News at 4, we will share what researchers say needs to happen in that minute that could save a child's life.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can always get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great day, a great weekend. Stay safe. Find a cool place out there.
Be safe, everybody.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.